So this morning in chapter 10 of Exodus, if you would turn there, we're still dealing with the plagues, with the troubles, with the issues of heart. And we see Pharaoh and Moses and Aaron still kind of in this battle. And it certainly represents the battle that's going on in the world. It's a spiritual battle. The things that are happening in Israel today are not just physical. Even though they are that, they're spiritual. There's a spiritual battle that's going on for hearts and minds. There's a spiritual battle going on for God's people. And just continue to pray there. We saw this past week that a couple of the hostages had made videos that were brought out. We don't know how much of that was coercion or how much was just them saying things that they had to say or wanted to say. But certainly we know that some are still alive. We're not sure how many of the 133 that are still hostages are still alive. We're thinking it's probably down to about 100 that might be still alive, but we don't know. So continue to pray for them. Continue to cry out to the Lord for mercy and grace there. And this could all be over with if they would just release the hostages. But we know that's not going to happen. So we know the response that Israel needs to have and should have to protect themselves, no matter what the U.S., the U.N., or any of the United Nothings think. It has to be the response that God has for them that has to be sure and has to be right. So help them. Just ask the Lord to help lead the Netanyahu and the government there into the right decisions, into the right actions, that those could be released. And we certainly cry out even more because we realize that there's kids all over the world that are being trafficked. There's women, there's men, there's boys that are being trafficked all throughout the world. And we realize that they're hostages just as much as the ones from Israel were. And I can't imagine any of my kids or grandkids being taken hostage and trafficked throughout the world, and yet it's happening every day. How sad this world is, and we just realize it's sin. Because of the fall in Genesis, we see the consequences of it, the results of it, and we just cringe at what's going on. And we know it's going to get worse, but we know that there's a God in control, and he's going to come one day and distribute justice the way it should be distributed. And we're just so thankful that God is still on the throne. He hasn't left. He hasn't vacated. Trust Jesus. He's in charge. He will lead us into all truth. So ask him for it. With all that, wherever it came from here, chapter 10 is, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart." So he's in that place now that Pharaoh has been completely given over to his ways. And the Lord says that he's not always going to strive with man. And we see that after a season, he is going to harden hearts. So if your heart has been hardened towards the Lord this morning for whatever reason, for bitterness, for anger, for hurt, don't let it go to a place where the Lord will just give you over to that bitterness or that hurt. But instead to be soft and tender towards him and towards the things that are going on. But it says, I've hardened his heart and the heart of his servants. Notice they're his. They're not God's. They haven't come to him. But we look at it and we see and we realize how much influence a leader can have on a country. The people still have a responsibility. They can still have that choice. But the leader is going to lead the nation into the place that it is. And God is going to judge nations as well as individuals. We see that those nations that have hardened their hearts against the Lord and are treating Israel the way that they're treating them, God is going to deal with them. He's made that promise. He's made that profession. And he stated it over and over. Those that curse Israel, I will curse. Those that bless Israel, I will curse. So we see that the judgment's going to come upon nations, but also individuals. And we see that even when Israel comes out of Egypt, there's going to be individuals, Egyptian people who come out with them. because they realize that God is true, that God is real, and they're going to walk with them. And the Lord accepts them and brings them with him and brings them into the land of promise. So we see there's hope for even us Gentiles. And how thankful are you that God isn't going to deal with you according to your sin, but he's already dealt with that sin on the cross. Don't be hindered by what you've done in the past. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, your sin was dealt with on the cross, and it's done, it's forgiven, and you can walk in truth of that, and you can hang on to that, and know that you're going to see Jesus one day in the fullness of his glory, and stand before the throne of God, worshiping and praising, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. I'm so thankful I have an advocate in heaven. Because I'd make a lousy lawyer. But I'm glad that Jesus, my lawyer, stands before his Father and says, this one's with me. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. So the servants have hardened their hearts also. And he says that I might show these my signs before him. The signs are there to just show God's power. The witness is there of God's power. They have to start realizing all these plagues have come against their gods that they have had in Egypt. Every single one of the plagues is against one of the idols, one of the gods, small g, of Egypt. And God has defeated each and every one. The magicians could not even come against and bring these things to pass. They couldn't get rid of the plagues and wonders. They had to ask the Lord for it. So he just shows his power, his might all the way through, and yet we see the weakness of the gods of this world. They can't perform what the people thought they could do. And we see that even with our educational system. They can't perform and do the things that they have legislated them to do. The programs, all the things that the world has proposed and given to the world can't bring about a good result. All they can do is just stay things a little bit, but they can't deliver people from the bondage. Only God can do that. That's why we trust him. That's one of the reasons we trust him. He can deliver us. And he showed his deliverance over and over. This picture of deliverance that we're going through here, this picture of redemption, isn't just for Israel, it's for us too. Because now we've been grafted in, Romans tells us. And we're going to be delivered from these bodies, from these natural bodies that just cause us to sin. Isn't that going to be great? And we're going to be more handsome than ever. Michael's going to see you again. He's going to be running. Sansi's going to be so glad. And we're all going to be delivered from the things that hold us in bondage. And I can't wait. I think the Lord shows us these things and has us in this place just so that we desire heaven a little bit more than we did the day before. And boy, most of us can't wait for heaven to come. It would be wonderful to be there. But he says in that in verse 2 that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and thy son's son, son's son, what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. I am the I am. He's the great I am. Remember when Moses was before him, who shall I say has sent me? He said, tell him that I am, that I am. It's that simple. And boy, Lord, you are all that we need, all that we need to have, all that we need to enter into is found in you. It says, and Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh, they're obedient. All these times they've come in, and Pharaoh, can you imagine his eyes? I can just see his eyes rolling every time Moses and Pharaoh kind of appear in the court. Just, oh, these guys again, just upset with them, frustrated with them, and yet God's people are frustrated with them too. So they're getting it from both sides. Because every time Moses and Aaron go in, the people of Israel get hurt that much more. But he hasn't meant it for their hurt. He's meant it for the good, because he's going to come and deliver them. As he ministers to them that all the things that you're going through are because of sin, and I can deliver you from those things. and he delivers them in the physical sense out of the hands of Egypt, out of the hardness, out of the bonds that Egypt has put them in. But in the spiritual sense, we see that he delivers us out of the bondage of sin that is held above us and on us until we come and realize that, Jesus, you need to be my Savior, my Lord, my King, my everything. And then we see the deliverance that he has for us. We don't have to stay in bondage, and we don't have to enter in again into bondage. We can stay free from those things that will bring heartache and pain to us. He says, follow me. Follow me in that place that I have made for you. So Moses and Aaron come in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. And again, we get freed to serve. Just an amazing thing. It says in Psalm chapter 10, verse 12, he says, arise, O Lord, lift up your hand, forget not the humble. Don't forget the humble of the world, those that are ready to humble themselves before you, those that are ready to give themselves over to you. Don't forget them, Lord. Aren't you glad that you've got a God that doesn't forget? It may be a time where you think he's forgotten because it's been so long, but God hasn't forgotten, and God is able to deliver. In 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. We don't get resistance from the Lord. We get grace. Isn't that great? Isn't that a wonderful thing that we can be humbled down? And the world says, don't be humble before anything. That's what they're trying to teach him. And yet God says, I want you to be humble because I'm not going to resist you in your humbleness. I'm just going to resist you in your pride. Oh, how good God is to us, but how he wants us to realize what we are and who we are in him, that we're not all that. Instead, we're all his. Oh, Lord, help us. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. There's a mighty hand that's over us. Humble ourselves under it, that he may exalt you in due time. In that exaltation that we're going to have, we're going to be raised to heavenly places. The unbelievers never get to go there. They're always resisted by God. And I don't know about you, but as I see God work more and more, as I see him all the way through these scriptures, I don't want to fall under his hand of judgment. I want to fall under his hand of grace and mercy. And keep praying for those folks who don't know Jesus that are around you, your family members, your neighbors, your co-workers. Keep praying for them. Don't be upset with them. They just can't do any better because that's their state of being against God, but instead pray for him. We see the resistance in the universities around us, and we realize the foolishness of it, and we see all the strange things that are going on with it. We even had some of the U of R shut down the other day because of the demonstrations that were going on. But isn't it strange, as you look at, and we heard one guy say, isn't it strange that all the tents they have set up on the campuses are the same kind? Duh. Wonder who's helping them. And wonder what's bringing it. It's Satan coming against all these things, all authority. It just shows the authority they don't want over them. It just shows the authority. We don't want God to rule over us, and we don't want his people. Ugh. It's a spiritual battle that's going on. Thank goodness God has touched our hearts to enter into grace, enter in with his mercy, and enter into a place of wanting his authority over us. I want God to rule over me, because I'm such a dummy. I'll do everything against him unless he has his hand on me saying, don't go there. Don't do that. Come this way instead. Oh, thank you, Lord, for bringing that humbleness to us. So tell him that I am the Lord. So they came in, they told him, And he said, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into thy coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth that one cannot be able to see the earth. Sounds like a lot of locusts. They won't be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which has escaped. Remember, the hail's come, all these other plagues have come, their crops have been destroyed, their trees have been destroyed, the grass is going, the waters are going, all these things are happening. He said, anything that's left, they're going to get. Oh. And you can't stop them. Once they get there, they just come in, and they just gnaw, and they chew, and they gnaw, and they chew, and they destroy. Kind of sounds like somebody we know. And they shall eat of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. God gives those trees for the people. They're there for them. Oh, how much has he given us? And if he's given that to people who don't want him, how much has he given you and I who love him and want him and want to walk with him? Every blessing, everything that we need for life and godliness, he says in Scripture, he's given to us already. You feel like you don't have strength to get through today? He's given you strength enough to get through today. Everything that we think we don't have for direction, he's already given us all the direction that we need to have. We're just not busy looking for it. We just want to go our own way. But we realize the results, the consequences of going our own direction. There's a lack of peace. There's a lack of joy. There's a lack of order because we want our own way. And God lets us go, but we suffer the consequences of it. He said, do you really want those things? Or do you want my peace, my joy, to be with you all the time? Lord, help us to have his peace and his joy. It's amazing. We've seen these things happen before with the locusts in 1962 in Delhi, India. Radar tracked this black cloud that was coming in. And they tried to fight this cloud that was coming in because it was a cloud of locusts. They fought it from July to December, trying to do everything they could to stop it. And they said 100 billion locusts landed in India. Whoa, that's a lot of locusts. Yeah. I don't care how much spray you got. You can't spray fast enough to kill 100 billion. In 1784, it said that in South Africa, on the coast, 300 billion locusts landed in the land. You know how much 300 billion locusts can eat? Oof, more than what we can make. But they said when the Lord finally blew them away and blew them into the ocean, it said that on the coast there was a pile 4 to 5 feet high, 50 miles long, of dead locusts. That's a lot of stink. Oh, what do you do with that? It would be good fertilizer after a while, I guess, but boy, can you imagine? 4 to 5 feet high, almost as tall as most of us are, except for Chris. Poor Chris would be under. But in that place, 4 to 5 feet high, 200 miles long. You can't run away from it. You can't get through it. Just, oh. Either you take with you a whole case of ketchup and just start dosing and just start a fire and start roasting, or you do something with it. But boy, that's a lot of locusts. And you wonder the judgment that's there. And you wonder, you look in Revelation 16 and you see the plague of locusts come again upon planet Earth. And yet, you know the sad thing? We haven't learned a thing. God has showed us over and over, as he does all throughout Scripture, these things are going to come to pass, and you're going to have to deal with them either in your own strength or you're going to let Jesus deal with them. Oh, Lord, help us to let Jesus deal with those things for us. Are you in trouble this morning? Is your heart troubled? Is your heart in that place of just not knowing what direction to go? Let Jesus deal with it. Don't strive against it, because all you're going to reap is just an awful heart, an awful hurt that God has already taken care of for you if you let him. Moses and Aaron come to Pharaoh and say, "Hey, Pharaoh, this is what's going to come to pass. Is this what you really want? You see your country, it's decimated. There's hardly any crops left. Your water's been polluted. Your crops are almost gone. Your food supply is almost gone. Every single god that you have trusted in has been brought down low. Pharaoh, are you still going to stay proud, or are you going to humble?" And we just sit there and go, "Boy, Pharaoh's a dummy." You know what? We're all Pharaohs, because we were all dummies. God kept trying to humble us and kept trying to show us that he's real, that he's true, that he's coming back again. And we kept fighting with him until we finally gave up. Aren't you glad surrender was there? Aren't you glad you were in that place of having that happen before Jesus came back for the church? Because what happened if he came back from the church and you were still in your pride? We'd have death forever and the separation from God. Death is one thing, but separation from God, separation from anything that is good and right and true, we're separated from. And that's what the world is facing if they don't come to Jesus. We keep praying for revival, which is great, but revival is just for the church, the people in the church, that they get revived and set on fire again. We're praying for salvation to come. Revival's for the church. And we certainly need to be revived. I don't know about you, but my heart sometimes gets so dull and boring, and it comes out in my teachings. I'm just dull and boring. As I come here on Wednesdays and Sundays and I see 90% of you fall asleep, I go, "Well, this is pretty dull and boring." I remember one teaching I did at Rochester, and Kath came up to me afterwards and said, "That was awful." And I go, "I know. I struggled because I gave it." It was terrible. Lord, help me not to have that. Help me to be led by your Spirit and not to have it dull and boring, but to be exciting for people's hearts. And it wasn't just me, but it's our own hearts too, because I can be as dull and boring as I can be, but if you're reading the Word and seeing the Word and hearing the Word, then your heart should be revived. You have an option in there too. You can't just point at me and say, "You're boring," which I know I'm boring, but you're just as boring as I am because you're listening to it without having anything happen to your heart.
Amen.
Lord, help my heart. Let it be revived. I want to be on fire. I want to do something with what God has given me. I just don't want to sit there like a pew potato and rot. You know those dumb potatoes that you have and you keep for a while, and all of a sudden you find them in the back of your cupboard and they got eyes all over the place and they're starting to grow, and you plant them in the ground and hope those things bring more potatoes at the end. We're just like those things. We're just rotting in the corner and things are just growing out of us. And most of it's mold. Ugh. I don't want to be a moldy Christian. I'm already old enough to be moldy. I just don't want it to show. Let's get fresh. Let's get fresh and let's get real with the Lord, because he wants to be real with us. And he is real. Isn't it amazing that the name of his people is real? He is real. And his history is real. It's all about Israel. Let's go in the right direction here. Let's not be like the rest of the world. So they come into Pharaoh, and he says, "Come on, guys, let's go." And Pharaoh, of course, says no. And he says in verse 6, they're going to come in and they're going to fill your houses and the houses of all your servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy father's fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. So evidently this huge swarm is going to come, because nobody's seen anything like it. And if history keeps cycling through and we see these things, we realize that they've probably been there before, but not in that number. He said it's going to be bigger than anybody in your history has ever seen. Can you imagine a plague that's going to come in Revelation? If 300 billion came in the 1700s and another 100 billion came in 1960s, what's Revelation going to bring? What are the numbers? Ooh. Oh, they're going to come. Nobody's ever seen it this bad. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. Didn't even wait for a response. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Look at their hearts. They have just as much of a responsibility as Pharaoh does. And what are they saying? How long are you going to let this guy live? Is really what they're saying. Let's get rid of him. We don't want this man to bother us anymore. And isn't that what they're saying about Christianity? We don't want your Bible to be in our faces anymore. So we'll tear it down. We'll get rid of it out of the schools. And we see what a great result that has been. Your kids are dumber than ever. They're doing dumber things. And your programs are really working, aren't they? Oh, Lord, please help us. So let the men go. Notice what they're saying. Let the men go. Do something with it in your Bibles. It isn't just the men that God wants. He wants the women, the children, the cattle, everything. Everything belongs to me. I want it. And yet, what do these people say? Just let the men go. Guys, you don't go without your spouses. You don't go without your families. And what does Scripture tell us to do? It says, fight for them. You fight for them in prayer. You fight for them by loving them the way that you're supposed to love them. You don't let them go to be given over to the enemy. Oh, be a good soldier, it tells us in Timothy. So let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? Our country is in shambles. Let them go. Oh, you wonder if America is saying, we've had enough of this Christianity stuff. We want to get rid of them. God, you come back and take them. That's why we see in Scripture that when the rapture happens, the world is happy. When the two witnesses in Israel are killed, the world throws a party. That's how much they want to get rid of us. Isn't that sad? That the best thing they can have, they want to get rid of. Oh, help us, Lord. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, so they hardly even get away. They bring them back. Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? You already know, Pharaoh, we've told you from the first plague on who we want to go. We've already told you. Who is it really that you want to go? And we have to ask that to our hearts. Do I really want to go? Do I really want to be in that place of knowing that God wants me and God is ready for me? Do I really want to go? And if we really want to go, do our lives show it? Are we reading our Bibles? Are we witnessing? Maybe not just with words, but with our actions. Do we really want to go? Lord, is my thoughts as I get out of bed, first thing, what I can do? This morning, for some dumb reason, I know it wasn't a dumb reason, it was the Lord, but I woke up at 1:30, and I thought I heard the alarm go off. And so I was all ready to get up. I was already starting to think of the things that were going on in this chapter this morning. They were already going through my mind. And I'm sitting there going, I'm really tired. I'll just wait for the first snooze button, you know, because Kath always hits it. So I thought maybe it would be there in a second. And after a few minutes, I'm laying there and I'm going, the snooze hasn't gone off. So I open my eyes. I go, boy, really dark for being 5 o'clock, because the sun's already starting to shine. I mean, things are already starting to get bright out there. And I'm going, I don't see a thing. So I got up and I said, well, I'll just go to the men's room and just see what time it is and see what's going on and just get ready for this morning. So maybe Kath just hit the delete button on the phone and instead of the snooze button, and maybe I'm just going to be late. So I get up and go, and it's 1:30. Oh, Lord, can I go back and get some more sleep? Sure. But just amazing, how much do I want the Lord? Is he on my mind? Is his word before my eyes? Are my prayers going up to heaven, or am I just concerned about what I'm going to eat? Am I just concerned about how much fun I'm going to have today instead of what God wants to do in my life? How can I get out of going to church and just go out and have fun? The world is making it easy for us because all the sports things for the kids are now on Sunday mornings. So they make it easy for the folks who don't want to be in church. Oh, we could just go watch this game. Lord, help my heart to be before you that I would want you. Who are they that are supposed to go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds. Will we go? For we must. This isn't an option. It's a must. And it's not an option for you and I. It's a must. Remember Jesus when he was going into Samaria to meet the woman at the well? I must needs go to Samaria. There's no choice. I've got to go. I must needs take care of my wife, my family, my neighborhood. I must needs be in prayer to the one who loves me the most. It's not an option for us. Notice Moses has no compromise here. He doesn't say just the guys in the herds because he was mad at his wife that day. He says, the men, the women, the kids, the herds, everything's got to go. No compromise. And folks, that's a witness for us. Lord, help me not to compromise with sin just so that I can have pleasure for a minute. Lord, may it be everything of me is yours. Well, Lord, I want to be yours, so I'll go to church on Sunday. Just let me go out during the week and have fun with what I want to do. He says, no, I want you every day. Every day is a worship day for us. It's not just Sunday. It's not Saturday. Every day. Every day is a worship day. And we get to do it. It's not that we have to. We get to. You get to worship the Lord on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Because just think of what you're going to do on Monday at work if you don't have the Lord. It's going to be one of those Mondays, and it's going to continue all week long. Ugh. And so in verse 11, he says, not so. Go ye now that you are men, and serve the Lord for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Not so. Not so, Lord. I know you've never said that. Not so, Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses as he goes out, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all the hail that is left. And we see destruction come here and we go, boy, Lord, you're mean. You know what? It's mercy, because he didn't destroy the whole thing after the first plague. He just keeps letting it go and showing them and encouraging them and talking to them. How long are you going to stay angry with your wife? Are you going to stay angry with her and despise her until I do plague number 6? Or are you going to quit after number 1 and say, Lord, forgive me and help me? How long are you going to say, Lord, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be out in the world just messing around. And after the first plague, do you give up or do you keep going until you get to the 8th plague? And you finally surrender and say, what am I doing in this place? Forgive me, Lord, for the hardness of my heart. Forgive me that I haven't humbled myself. Moses goes out, holds up his hand, and here comes the plague. Here comes that thing that's coming, that's going to come against Pharaoh, that's going to come against all that he has. In Matthew 3, verses 3 and 4, if I could be in the right place, it would probably help. Matthew chapter 3, he says this in verses 3 and 4. He says, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And that same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leather and girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Here comes the locusts, and that's what John was going to eat. You wonder if it was a remembrance of things that were going on with Pharaoh. Do you remember what was happening? He's eating these things because they're in the land. Judgment is here. Judgment is coming. And he says, make your path straight, because here comes the Lord. And folks, for us, we may be eating all these bugs because that's what the one worlders, the one percenters want. They want you to eat bugs. That's why the cows are going. That's why there's a shortage. They want you to eat bugs. You wonder if we're going to be eating locusts because judgment is coming. Make your path straight. Go straight towards the Lord and prepare you the way because Jesus is coming again. Oh, we have a great hope in front of us, but the world has no hope right now. Oh, amazing stuff. So Moses, boy, am I going slow. Moses stretched forth his hand over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts, and it took him a whole day to bring them in. That whole thing is he gathered them up throughout the world. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the field and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left, and there remained not any green thing in the trees nor in the herbs of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses. Then. Hello. Is it time yet? Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste. Hurry up and get him here. Evidently, he didn't like locusts. And he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now, therefore, forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once. Did you catch that? I've only sinned once. We saw it last time, too. He can't get past one. Evidently, he lost all his fingers or something, only had one left. I've only sinned once. I've been really good other than that. Did you ever hear anybody say that? Oh, I'm not a bad person. Well, if you don't know Jesus, you're an evil person. Oof. That's hard to think about, isn't it? Because there are some good people who do great things, but they don't want Jesus. And just because they think they're good, what does Scripture say? There's only one good, and that's God. Not me, not you, not Darwin. Not Hitler, not Trump, not Biden, not one. Oh. So entreat the Lord your God. And he's still in that place. He's not my God, he's your God. Oh. That he may take away from me this death only. Let him take away, what does he say? Take away death from me. He knows that death is going to come. Have him take death away from me. And don't people cry that out. Give me enough of the Lord so that death goes away from me, but I don't want anything else. Ah, oh, sad. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. You see Moses' heart? Would you do it? I wouldn't go out and pray for him. I'd go out the door and go, smoke him, Lord. But that's my evil, rotten heart. Moses has a heart like Jesus, and he prays for him. He intercedes for him. He loves him. He came and he died for him and for his sin. An amazing heart that the Lord has worked into Moses. May the Lord work that heart into you and I, especially for the days that we're in. He went out from Pharaoh, entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, so it was blowing east. He turns it around to blow the other way. What's he doing? He's going to blow him out of the land. But it isn't going to be immediate, is it? Just so that there's a remembrance here, Pharaoh, this is what's going on. And it took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea, and there remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. Remember, his heart's already hardened. The Lord already knows what it is, so he keeps it. So the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand. Doesn't consult with Pharaoh, doesn't consult with anybody else. The Lord says unto Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven that there may be darkness over all the land of Egypt, even darkness that may be felt. And it says this in Psalm 105, verse 29 or 23 and on, and he increased the people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal subtly with the servants. And he sent Moses and his servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen. And they showed him signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against the word, and he turned their waters into blood, and he tells them all the things that happened while they were there in that place of just seeing these things that were going on in the land. He gives them all the plagues. He rehearses it in Psalm 105. It's a great psalm, and he ministers to them in that place, and he tells us, as he goes through these things, they're going to come to pass. They're going to come to be in that place of just showing you all these things. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." They didn't want their deeds to be exposed. They didn't want their hardened hearts to be exposed. And isn't that the awfulest thing? When the Lord exposes sin in our life, and we realize, "Lord, I've got a hardened heart because I didn't even realize that was sin. I've been dealing with it and doing it, and I haven't even realized that my heart is bad. I thought it was their heart." But the Lord always deals with us, doesn't he? He can deal with others as he goes. Because isn't that what happens when we have arguments with our spouses or our kids? We pray to the Lord and say, "Lord, show them their heart." And he goes, "I'm already showing you yours." You go, "Oh, I thought this was about them." And he goes, "No, it's about you." Oh, Lord, that's an awful thing. He just shows us our hearts because they don't want the light. It's still the same. We just don't want the things of the light. So Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in the land of Egypt for 3 days. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. He's showing Egypt that there's a lighted place, that there's light that's come into the world, that there's light there, there's hope there. There's not this disease that's there. There's a hope that goes beyond it. These things are going to come upon the things of the world, but upon my people, these things are not going to come. Oh, and yet they didn't want to go. Instead of going towards the light, they stayed in their darkness. And it tells us in Scripture that they gnawed their tongues for the darkness that was there in Revelation. They gnawed at their tongues. And we don't have so much of a physical darkness in the world right now, but we have a spiritual darkness in this world. And people are gnawing at their tongues. There are diseases that are coming upon the world because of sin and the rampant expanse of sin. There's more and more sin coming, and people are gnawing at their tongues. They're angry, they're frustrated, they're bothered because their consciences are bothered, but they don't want God. And they will come and they'll yell at you because you're one of those fundamental Christians and you believe in Israel. Isn't that what the protests are in the colleges right now? It isn't so much against Israel, it's against the light that's come into the world. And not only do the Arabs and the Muslims want Israel first, the little Satan, but then the great Satan, America. It's also against a spiritual way that God has in his people. You are a light. And the Lord tells us not to put our light under a bushel. But guess what's going to happen as your light shines? People are going to see it, and they're going to go, "You're one of them." And they're going to gnaw at you, and they're going to yell at you, and they're going to want to hurt you. And it's not because of you, it's because of Jesus in you. That's how much people hate Jesus. That's how much Satan hates Jesus, that this is going on. And if you really love the Lord, and if I really love the Lord, I don't want that covered up. I want the world to know that I love Jesus, and I don't want to hide my light under a bushel and say, "Jesus, I love you and I want salvation, but I don't want to go through persecution. I don't want to go through hard times, so I'm just going to cover up and be a closet Christian." We've been closet Christians long enough. We need to come out. "I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. Help me." And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, "Go ye and serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herd be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." "Okay, you can go, but I'm keeping your herds." He's still trying for compromise. Isn't that just like the world? "Well, I'll give you a little bit more, but not everything. I'll give you a little bit more, but not everything." That's why we can't love our wives the way that we should. Because I've got a little bit of me still in the way. And I don't want to give that up. No. Oh. And Moses said, you must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us, and there shall not a hoof be left behind. I love that. For thereof must, can you imagine all those little hoofs that would be left behind as they take the cows? How are the cows going to walk if there's a hoof? I don't know. But thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. We don't know how we're going to do it until we get there, and the Lord's going to tell us. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart the way that he wanted it, and he still wouldn't let him go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get you from me, and take heed to yourself, and see my face no more. For in the day that thou seest my face, you're going to die. Trouble is, it was going to backfire on him, because the thing that he wanted to do was the thing that was going to come upon him. And we're going to see that in the next chapter. And Moses said, you have well spoken. I will see your face again no more. Isn't that sad? Because there was going to be no more light in Pharaoh's court. Because he had driven out every vestige of light and hope that he and the people of Israel, or he and the people of Egypt were going to have, because he was pushing the light out completely. And there was going to be no more light in Egypt. That's sad, and that, yet that's where the world is going. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, Lord, minister to us. Thank you for your people, Lord, that have just been putting up with me and in letting me go on with this, Lord. But, Father, please show us where we are with you today, Lord. Are we holding back in any way, or do we want to serve you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Father, if there's any vestige of the world still in us that wants to hide that light, Lord, please let it be cast from us. Show us, Lord, so that we might reject it and push it aside and get it out. If there's anything that we desire more than being with you, Lord, help us and show us what that is so that we can repent of it and turn from it and go your way and your way only. Because you're going to add everything unto us that we need to have. But, Lord, show us what those needs are. We don't even know sometimes what we need, but we know we need you. And so have your way with us. Fill us afresh this morning, Lord, and help us to meditate on these things that we would see your glory. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your precious word that you've left us. You've told us in Scripture that these things are left for us, that we might see and learn and understand and hear. And Father, we want to do that. We don't want to leave any portion undone that we would not believe is true. So, Lord, help us with that. Minister to us this morning, Lord. We thank you that you've given us this time. Thank you as we come, Lord, just remembering all that you've done for us, that we can remember not only what you've done for us, but how good you were in doing it for us, Lord, instead of to us, that we as believers in Christ don't have to look at this and remember all that we've done against you, but we remember what you've done for us. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for that act that you did on the cross that would bring forgiveness to us and realization that the same power that raised you from the dead one day is going to raise us who are believers in you from the dead, Lord, that we're going to be out of these bodies that are prone to sin and given those new bodies, given that new life that is going to be without sin, without hurt, without pain, without distraction. And so, Lord, help us to come to you this morning, Lord, just remembering all that you've done, remembering your body that was broken, remembering your blood that was poured out, and giving you thanks because you alone are worthy. You're the only one that died for the sin of the world. You're the only one that was raised from the dead, showing us that your acceptance of that sacrifice, Lord. So thank you. We praise you. Pray that we would want to be your children, Lord, that are obedient, that are faithful, that are true, that are real. And help us, strengthen us for it, Lord. We know it's going to be a hard walk, but it's going to be a good walk. So thank you for your strength, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.